All right, good evening. It is Tuesday, November 22, 2022, 6 p.m. and I call this Brangle Assembly to order. The Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led by Assembly Member Ward.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. There are ceremonial matters. There are none. We'll go to roll call, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Morrison, Brian Howe.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
David Powell.
Here.
DeBoard.
Here.
Robbins.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. All right, persons to be heard. While the clerk is checking to see if anyone signed up for persons to be heard, I do want to acknowledge letters from Muddy Waters and Bruce McQueen.
Nobody signed up.
Okay, and no one signed up. All right, amendments to the agenda. Does any assembly member have any amendments to the agenda? Borough Manager Good?
Yes, I would like to remove 13E, approval of contract award to AWC Water Solutions for the packaged water treatment equipment pre-selection.
All right. Thank you. Any other amendments? All right. Hearing none. Conflict of interest. Does any assembly member have any conflict of interest on any item before us? All right. Seeing none. Consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple. Any discussion? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoard.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. All right, Assembly, that brings us to item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
Mayor, I'd like to get the finance report, so I'll let the finance director go ahead and give that.
All right, let's start with good news first.
Good news first, okay. I got lots of good news in this report, so we're solid. Yeah, thanks. So November 22nd report. Many of you guys attended the fiscal year 21 audit presentation. I think that was a really, really constructive discussion. If you missed it, I kind of have some points. The discussion that we, Joy Mariner, our audit partner, really highlighted while she was here, and I think there's some important takeaways from that. So I'll kind of go over a few of those real briefly. But, you know, as we said, the fiscal year 21 audit was really a complex thing to break down 5 years of, you know, not exactly accurate accounting and make the books right. So that was really phase one of a one-year undertaking for me, is just getting our financials to a point where you guys can rely on them for decision making. So I can confidently say you can rely on them moving forward, and that's really exciting. So we're on a really good path, but we don't want to forget about what was done. So there's a few findings that she addressed. You know, a couple findings will not go away without robust review by a controller, a competent individual that's kind of in the second level of review. So those are like the journal entry review and approval deficiency, the bank reconciliation deficiency. So some of those will stick around for 22, but projecting probably of the 9 findings we had, we'll cut it down to 2, which is, I think it's a serious success for 1 year. So really proud of the department to get to that point. You know, another thing that she had mentioned was ADEC loans, really, really beneficial for the borough to undertake. So kind of want to emphasize that as we think of some of these water and sewer projects, really leveraging those low interest subsidized loan packages. You know, instead of going out to get a bond for 5%, we might be able to get a low interest loan for 3%. So, and in this environment, that's pretty amazing. So,
and finance director, tell her why ADEC loans would be preferable.
Yep. So ADEC loans are often forgiven. So, you know, we might, for the water treatment plant, we have interim financing at $3.821 million. But you know, I know they've offered $500,000 of forgiveness on that loan already. Could be more, especially with all this ISJA money floating around. You just can't project those kind of things, but it is historically normal to see that debt forgiven. So on top of a low interest rate, you also have kind of similar to school bonds, that chance for reimbursement, so which of course we hope for with our school bonds too. So ADIC loans, good thing, just don't want to over-leverage ourselves in the future. You know, depreciation and cash flows are two key factors she really pointed out in the meeting, which I thought was really, really wonderful. You know, when you look at the book value of a lot of our enterprise funds or business type funds, it's very low, meaning most of our assets are depreciated or have reached their useful life. And really, that's kind of, I'll branch off there for a little bit. We're, you know, in economically turbulent times, we're in a recession. We don't know what the future is going to look like. Are we going to experience a real recession and feel the impacts of you know, job losses and really high interest rates and that kind of stuff? We don't really know. So we just kind of prepare for the worst. I mean, the cost of business is pretty fluid. You know, we have historically really high inflation right now in our enterprise funds. And so what that really calls for, I'm going to kind of launch like a heads up initiative for the next 3 months, which is, what do we really need? What are the conservative, realistic needs for us to do business? What is the cost of recapitalizing those assets? For example, we talked in the director's meeting today about here's our fleet of, you know, vehicles and equipment. We clearly probably don't need the same pieces of equipment we did 30 years ago, so we're not going to just, you know, heads down, recapitalize everything. But what are the true needs out of that, and how do we afford that and meet those obligations in the future? Obviously, there's some, to some degree, it's absorbed through user fees for enterprise funds, and for the general fund, it's non-voluntary exchanges, taxation. So those are the means for being able to afford it. The problem that and it was really clear, is, you know, user fees, for example, they should really absorb the cost of business, and one of the costs of businesses is depreciation and recapitalizing those assets. Well, as you can clearly see in our reserves, that wasn't done over the last 30 years. So it's not so much that people, you know, paid for the recap of assets already. So if we do go through with a, you know, a rate renewal and they do increase for inflation at least, people can't be too bent out of shape because they never really made that investment in the first place. A lot of it was subsidized through grants, and we had really good days back in the 80s with the login days. And so there was a lot of outside subsidization. But that said, it doesn't mean, you know, Carol, Amber, me and some of the other people that are going to write grants in the future are going to work any less hard to get those. So, I mean, it's just a fluid environment. So I just kind of want to put that out there. So department heads are going to meet in December, and we're going to kind of assess the needs for equipment, vehicles, capital assets, and then projects, and kind of have a realistic timeline to model that out so I can suggest the best plan forward. So that's kind of my three-month plan, and I'll obviously propose that to Jeff, and he can change it how he wants. But I think the key piece that, you know, I think the assembly can really hold everybody's feet to the fire is just follow through. If we say we're going to spend the money in the summer of 2023, we better spend the money. Otherwise, the opportunity cost of what we could have invested would have been quite substantial. So, just some really good takeaways. Really appreciate the effort that Joy and her team have invested in our borough. And, you know, for 22, we're really looking good. I kind of had some notes on a timeline. Should be issued first draft of financials by Christmas, approval and issuance of the 22 audit in January. So kind of a two-month turnaround time on that compared to 16 months or whatever it was for 21, which is great. Back to some normalcy. Investment committee and treasury. So we met on the 16th. We had a really good brainstorm session. Assemblymember DeBoard, Morrison, and the mayor and I met and discussed a variety of things. The first one was setting a floor on a Wells Fargo checking of $1 million and a ceiling at $3 million. That way, we're not harboring money in there that's earning no interest, which has been a theme of the past for quite some time. I mean, there's been times where we had $12 million in our checking account earning nothing. So we're not going to do that anymore. So I'm pretty excited about investment potential. So last month, we purchased $10 million of three-month treasury notes. That'll generate about, you know, $400,000 in income that otherwise wouldn't have been generated. And then on top of that, today we just had a trade ticket for another three-month treasury earning 4.31%, which is pretty remarkable right now. That's going to be another $301,700. So pretty impressive. Altogether, $700,000 of combined interest that would have not otherwise been earned. So that's a great step in the right direction. And Jeff and Kim will help me make the $7 million transfer tomorrow. So a bit of good news.
And that's the realized gains over 3 months?
No, on an annual basis.
Annual
basis.
$700,000.
$700,000, and that's compared to what we would have normally gotten. So that's a net realized gain. You can have, there's some up-to-date treasury yields there, just so you're aware. Items upcoming, I'm going to kind of keep this section on all my reports so you can kind of see what actionable items we're going to take moving forward. But the next report will include all our capital assets of our enterprise funds and the book value of them. So I know that's something you guys wanted for quite some time. It's a big feat to take a document that's like, you know, you can scroll and scroll and scroll. So I'm going to try to put it in some kind of summarized version for you guys. But it'll have all the assets of the borough and our plan kind of to address that moving forward. So you can see the useful lives and what year we purchased them and where they're at on our books. And then December 20th, we'll formally issue the 21 audit, even though it's ready. We're going to, as part of the work session on the 20th, to revitalize our organizational structure, we'll have the controller job description and, we're going to also bring forward a budget amendment corresponding to that. Property and sales tax clerk, I think there's been initial discussions that could be synergetic with the economic development director and assisting that role moving forward. So I think changing that job just so they do sales tax and transient tax, and then they have a full-on admin assistant for tourism and the economic development director. So I think that'll likely be proposed. So you can expect that. And then there's an AMLIP resolution to transfer any of the money that's sitting in our Key Bank capital markets account. So those treasury notes that I'm buying, it just automatically goes back to AMLIP as soon as they mature. So it's just less maintenance, and it keeps everything honest. That way they're not just sitting stale. And then the last thing is, I know the Assembly wanted a port interfund loan repayment resolution. So that'll be on the December 20th agenda as well. So we'll formally get rid of that, you know, I think it was the Dolphin debt that was like nine or 8 years old. We'll repay that, so that's not on the books anymore, just because it kind of seems pointless at this point, and let's get rid of it. So, I'll just entertain any questions if you guys have any, or,
Assembly Member Powell.
For the public, can you tell us, and me too, the ADEC loans, what are they for? I mean, what can we get a loan for? Can we do it public safety building? Can we do it roads? Can we do it sewers? Can you do it for anything?
No. So the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is really specific to water and sewer needs. And so there's the Clean Drinking Water Fund and then the Drinking Water Fund, did I say that right? Two separate programs. And there's, you know, the drinking water program obviously doesn't target sewer water needs. It would target like the water treatment plant, which we have our interim financing for the water treatment plant through. And then the other water state revolving fund is essentially to target like sewer needs and other things. So specific to water and sewer, of which we have plenty of needs to satisfy through that. But I would strongly urge the Assembly that we go that route. And we do. We have a plan in our capital projects plan to target those programs for specific capital projects over the summer.
So the other question is if... we know that a lot of our roads need to be done, but the problem is the infrastructure underneath the roads are terrible. So are we, when you get these loans, can that also pay for the top of that too, or is it only going to pay for what's underneath?
So the ADEC loans won't be able to pay for the surfacing of the roads, but DOT grants and combinations of grant and match could. So I think we'll probably, you know, we've had discussions with WCA preliminarily about leveraging them as well, because they're available to a lot of funds that we're not, and kind of embarking on a partnership. So maybe we cover the surfacing costs. I know that Amber has a proposal to Jeff right now for, and he'll probably mention that in his report, I'd imagine, $15 million projects for roads, and that would be pretty much surfacing and drainage. And then aside from that, maybe WCA can help us step in and address some of the water and sewer infrastructure below, because we certainly want to pave over 50-year-old infrastructure. So. So
probably roads first, especially if we can get some grant money for the roads, then we would get the loan money for the infrastructure underneath. Probably okay. The easiest way to do it time-wise, but part of it too is how we time it, especially if it's a CTP and TAP money, that's all designed by DOT, so we'd have to figure out how that's combined, how we would even combine those two projects into one, whether they would even let us do it. So there's some logistics we'd have to work out.
Yeah, good question.
And then I thought the ADEC could also be used for to get us off that 301H waiver.
Yep, it can.
Would that be correct?
That would be a good suitable project, and I believe that's mapped out on our capital projects list like
that. Yes, and then that's in the clean water fund.
Clean water fund, thanks.
Drinking water and clean water. The clean water is related to storm or sewer.
Okay.
Just the differentiation between those two waters.
Okay.
Right on.
And then another question I had on the we're finishing up FY21 and getting that audit.
Yep.
You're pretty much finished auditing for FY22, so
correct.
We're probably ahead of schedule a little bit on that one, which
yeah.
is great. And then for FY24 budget, are you considering putting in depreciation
yep.
line items for different departments and okay.
Yep, and I'm trying to figure out what the best structure is, especially as we move into a new software. So there's a lot of different moving pieces, but I think, you know, Petersburg and some other municipalities, they use a motor pool fund, and that's a pretty effective way of recapitalizing equipment at costs. Projects will always live in a capital projects fund, but we should really make sure that there's a way to quantify or at least convey to you guys that depreciation is absorbed through user fees or taxation in the future, or a percentage thereof. Like, depreciation is not a perfect calculation, but it is a pretty good estimate of the underlying activity that's being devalued. I think that's the best path forward, and I think we'll just make it really clear moving in that direction.
Okay. Great. Any other questions? All right, finance,
okay.
Good report. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Do we want to take, let's take economic development next.
Okay. So for economic development, there's a forum that's going to be Wednesday, December 14th at 5:30 in the Nolan Center. And that's going to be talking about the mill property and kind of what we do moving forward with some of that and then economic development in general. The old hospital site, there has been some interest in it, so we're kind of having those some of those discussions. If we do get any type of firm quote on that, we'll definitely bring it, or a firm offer, we'll bring that before the assembly. So there's been some talk on that. We're going to continue to move forward, as you can see, and one of the agenda items, and that's to continue moving forward with what we're doing as far as putting that out to bid. So, and then looking at what the actual value of it is. And then we continue on the Aldertop Village subdivision. We continue to move forward with that. So as soon as we get everything back on the design and from SHPO, we'll continue to push that project forward. So from the economic development, those are kind of the updates that we have. And then in the report itself, there's still the information in there from that we haven't had any action on yet.
Okay. Any questions on economic development? And we're publicizing that December 14 meeting. And can the public, if they can't make that meeting, because Wednesday's usually church night, and I know the volunteer fire department meet on Wednesdays, can they submit a letter
Absolutely.
With their ideas?
Absolutely.
And that we can assure them that the assembly will see that. All right, now the good stuff, infrastructure.
So infrastructure, did you want to go through your list first?
Yeah, let's go through my list.
Okay.
What I'm trying to do is to lock in projects for this coming spring and summer. And I'm really excited about it. So with the assembly's approval, may I tackle my list? Okay, and this is in no particular order, but I wanted to ask a question about our property tax assessments. They will be 100% assessed over these last 2 years, and you think that they'll be finished by spring?
They're working on them now.
Yeah, they'll be here the 27th for initial review. Yeah, for a week. So November 27th.
Okay, so November, so they're really on schedule then.
Yep, they are.
All right, and that's 100% appraisals.
Yep, with probably some leniency around the Myers Check area and those kind of properties. But as far as Wrangell Island itself and Farm Island, you know, proximity wise, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they just have a hard time getting to places like Myers Check in winter weather and chartering down there, and it's expensive. So, yep.
Okay, great. Harbor security cameras.
Correct. So, actually, one of the agenda items right now, we did get some more grant money, so it's approval of that grant money, and then we're moving forward with that project. So, the design phase, you want to talk about that one, Amber?
Yes, we are working towards our 95% design, shooting for putting that project out to bid in December or at the latest January. I think they're tracking to be done with the 95% design. It's supposed to be this week, but it may come in next week. So we're getting there. We're close. Put that out to bid. We are targeting equipment that we've reached out and understand is available and in a reasonable amount of time. So we should expect to see that work starting next year in the summer.
Okay, perfect. The cemetery plot survey. And the columbarium is in town, and I would suspect we just need a foundation, concrete foundation for the columbarium, correct?
Yeah. Yes, I can give you an update on where we are with that project. So the columbarium is here. It's been put in safe storage until we have a full conceptual design that's been ratified by everyone. We have R&M Engineering under contract to do the survey of the plots and the phase one, as well as a future phase two. We're going to go ahead and just have them survey all of that, put that in a plan so that we have the phase two for the future as well. But that phase one work for the current project will include some construction details and some cost estimates. Along with quantities for us to be able to come back to you then and say, here's the design and here's the cost estimate for that design. And then we would ask for a budget amendment to move that project forward into construction.
All right. So that is well on its way.
Correct. And we held off, number one, the columbarium, we held off installing it now because it came in late and the concrete plant was just shutting down. And we thought, you know, we have an idea of where we think it should go, but why don't we just take the time and let the landscape architects and the engineers kind of give us their idea too, because sometimes they see it from a different perspective. So it will be nice to have all of that outlined in a conceptual plan that we'll have on paper and everyone can visualize.
Okay, great. The industrial lots. We've got the lots identified and we'll put those out for bid. Then we need to float a road, two roads, basically. Would that be doable this summer?
I think so. You know, there's we've got 35 projects now with that one having just been approved. So I've taken a look at the projects I think we could accomplish next year if the workload is suitable for our staffing levels. 34 projects in play right now. If we continue to track, like I hope we will, we could see 24 of those 34, 36 projects in some level of starting construction next year, some throughout the calendar year 24, or fiscal year 24, calendar year 23. So that's a lot. That's a lot to be working in the field. We have to have people who can inspect those projects too. So we have to consider as we move forward and are ready to release these projects for construction that we've got people to actually, you know, do on-site inspections as well and all the paperwork that goes along with either our own requirements or the grant funding requirements, which are significant.
And that's sort of where I'm heading because I've top of my mind was writing down everything we have on our plate, and it's quite a bit.
And one of those 24 projects is the water plant.
Right. Oh, I know. I've got that on my list so, in big print.
You know, that's going to be a significant draw of time from many of our existing staff. And, you know, we need to consider how to approach the required resident inspector for that project also. And we're discussing that now on ways to approach that. So.
Great. Okay, Mount Dewey Trail Extension is a go.
That is a go, yes. I got a call from the engineers today. They are at 95% complete. They just are waiting for their QC to occur by their senior engineer. And we're expecting those documents to be able to put in a construction bidding package for advertising by the end of December.
Great. So that's the fourth project, AMI metering system.
That RFP solicitation is in the works, and it has been for a while. I'm about halfway through it. I just need to run through the technical specs, which takes a lot of time to do.
Okay, and would that be installed by our workers, or would we have to hire that out?
We're considering a number of options there. Originally, Rod had talked about the possibility of having whichever contractor is selected come in and get his crew started, you know, install the first network piece of equipment, whereby his staff could learn the ropes and then could probably wrap up the rest of it on their own. But we're looking at some other options too, and it's going to depend on what projects his staff takes on. They've got the upgrade to the power plant that they're scheduled to do next year also, so we may decide it's in our best interest to keep that project going to contract all of the installation out. Aside from the meters, he does want to install the meters with his own crew.
I talked to Ketchikan as well, and they had mentioned possibly trying to help us.
So we'll
keep that as an option if they're willing to do that.
Okay, and we are going to do the power plant upgrade next summer.
We are. That is in play. Of course, we're waiting on the three megawatt transformers to arrive
in August,
September-ish. And about that time, the plan is to have all of the infrastructure at the site ready to go to receive those and then do the switching and the rest of the gear upgrades that need to happen at the same time.
And that'll put us at, 12 megawatts? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. That'll be security for the community.
Right.
Okay, that's five projects. Pool siding.
Pool siding, we just got to an agreement with the architect. We had to reduce the original scope that we asked him to price for us. We have $175,000 for that project ARPA grant, I can't remember which one, lost revenue grant, one of them. It's not necessarily that's what we said the project's going to cost. We were given $175,000. So we're trying to work within that number, get as much done or restrict the work to fit within that budget. So we've got the architect, we've got PSA's professional services agreements now in play to get that going. They've committed to having that work complete by their work by late winter, so we can put it out to bid for a summer construction.
Perfect. And then the pool HVAC and DDC upgrades, is that on schedule for this summer?
It is. I just hit send, and that's why I was late to this meeting, getting the HVAC project out on the street. So it's out to bid tonight, along with the fire alarm replacement. I don't know if you all read my report on that project. We did end up rejecting all bids for that project that we talked about a couple of assembly meetings ago, because the low bidder, Sitka Electric, was unable to present their SAM.gov registration in what we considered a reasonable amount of time. We did review it with the attorney. I don't know if Jeff's already gone over this or not. I'm happy to give the report on it if you want me to continue.
And the fire alarm you're talking about for the school.
Correct.
And that will be done this summer?
Yes. Okay. So we had to...
I'm keeping track. So that's number seven.
We rejected all bids and waited for a bid protest period to end and just released those, the rebid documents tonight also. That project is scheduled to occur during the school summer session next summer. Going back to the HVAC project for the pool, that project is required to be 80% complete by the end of May. So there's a very fast track timeline on that that's established by the grant agency.
Okay, yeah. So that'll be this spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the City Park Pavilion.
We also just came to an agreement with the engineer on a cost that was reasonable to move that project forward. They've given us an 8-week production time on the design for that before it can go out to bid.
And that'll be worked on this summer?
Spring, summer, as soon as possible.
Barring any unforeseen circumstances?
Correct, yeah, and that work can happen, you know, it's undercover. So, you know, if we get to a point where it's still inclement weather, some of that work could happen depending on means and methods for deconstructing the chimney and reconstructing that.
Yeah, that might be dicey. Public restrooms.
I'm not working on that one. I can't report on that.
So we do kind of have a preliminary design for that, at least an outline and some vendors, but we haven't started on that yet.
Okay. But do you, I'll put a question mark by number 9. Okay. Then the water treatment plant is definitely going to begin. So that's project number 10. Let's see. We're working on the WMC sale. So we're working on that. Emergency notification plans. You're working on that and incorporating ASTK and Nixel and...
Right, and as if everyone kind of noticed tonight, we've actually started kind of utilizing it more.
Yeah.
So you should have got, if you didn't get a Nixel alert or an advisory this afternoon, please go onto our website. If you go onto ringle.com, there's actually a little button push on the side that says Nixel, and you can sign up for it there. But we do have heavy weather coming in tonight and tomorrow with rain and high winds. So we put out a Nixel advisory just to kind of let everybody know. So the goal is to kind of get that system, start activating it more, start using it, utilizing it. We're going to be working as far as our comms plan internally with us, as far as putting up some standard language on how we do it, standard bulletins, and then internally how we work that system either through our dispatch at police, through fire, or with Kim and myself on how we do that. So, but we try to get a common comms plan out on how we do it. But I think for now it's just kind of exercising the system, mm-hmm. start working through it, and then we can kind of learn from that a little bit and then kind of work out some of the bugs as we go through and finalize what that system is going to be.
Great. So in effect, you're testing the system right now. And if people, it's very easy to subscribe to the Nixel system.
You click on it, and you can enter your email address and your cell phone number, and it'll send you a text, and it'll send you an email.
Yeah. Great. Okay. The Kyle Engerman Park and Playground, we're revitalizing that project.
That project actually, we declined the funds. We got to a point where we didn't have the match that was required, and there's a lot of issues, and so we ended up declining the funding. They wanted us to be able to commit to that, and we are planning to reapply to that grant through the Land Water Conservation Fund and the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources. So at this point, we're just waiting for notification that grant round is open again, and we'll make another application to it.
So there was an issue with the surfacing material, which greatly increased the cost, and we were well short of any funding to be able to complete that project.
Okay. The solid waste transfer station upgrade.
Yeah, design is moving forward with that. We had some back and forth amongst staff, and then working with Vertical Bridge, who's putting the cell tower in at one of the adjacent lots, just trying to coordinate all that work. But we're probably not quite at, probably just at 65% design on that right now. And we have the Denali Commission grant in the amount of $250,000 that we're working to get that started. As soon as we get the grant agreement, we'll be bringing that forward for your acceptance, but working towards that in hopes of having that constructed next summer as well.
Good. And then the borough manager is going to check on employee showers and washer and dryers and see where if those are needed. The employee handbook, we've got that before us tonight. That we've been waiting a long time for that. Skeet range improvements. I had a community citizen ask me about that.
Yeah, so we made an application to Alaska Department of Fish and Game has a hunter safety program, and it appears that we have been selected to receive funding. We've gone back and modified our budget to add some additional costs that just going over the requirements of the grant. It was suggested we reconsider our proposal, so we did, and we increased it, and it's under consideration right now for award, but it's not. It's a tentative award, is what I understand, but it's not been completely finalized yet. I think they suggested that it could be February before we would have a final on that, as far as seeing a grant award come our way.
Okay. Yeah, Assemblymember Powell.
On that grant, that skeet thing, is this, how do I say, is this too late to change this thing? Have you had conversations with anyone in the public about this?
I have not. I don't know if Kate has.
Because the reason why I ask is, I had some people ask me about this and did a little research on it, and skeet is very difficult, mm-hmm. and trap is a lot easier. You can shoot trap with any shotgun out of your closet, where skeet you can't. It's a lot more competitive thing, and nobody in Southeast that I know of has skeet tournaments. Have a lot of trap tournaments. I mean, Juneau, Sitka, Petersburg has it. I'm just wondering if we're going the wrong direction on that, or if we could revamp that instead of, because the word skeet and trap, I don't know if it just got thrown out there like that, because it's almost the same thing, but it's not. Machines are different. It's just there's a lot of difference to it. I just don't want Wrangell to have the only skeet thing that never gets used.
So may I ask you a couple questions for clarification? Do you use, because I don't know anything about the two, do you use the low and high house and trap, or do you use the trap house that's in the center down low generally?
I am not too involved in this at all. I know a couple of people are. You can use, I was told that you could use them, but they're not ideal.
Okay.
Normally your trap, if I remember this right, normally your trap house is stationary in the center, skeets are coming from different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you have stations and skeet were trapped. You're not walking to stations and things are not flying differently.
Right.
And the only reason I say this is because this has been going on for a while, and I really want to go through, but I just don't want us to have a skeet range that nobody can use and nobody else. The idea with this whole thing was to have something that we could pull people from other towns that have tournaments already, and they already have the programs going, and then we have the only skeet thing, and then, well, we don't shoot skeet, and we can't come, or there's no way to get us qualifying to shoot skeet with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of really nervous about just saying skeet for this program.
Yeah, so if I may, the way that the grant was written was based on the justification for skeet, based on the user need and desire. We did not address trap in that application. If we could change that, I don't know, but we could call and ask. We did set up the design for the skeet range, though, with the idea of adding trap at a future date, so that they could work, by themselves, but you'd have both options at the same site. But whether or not we could change that now that they've issued some level of grant award based on our application, and justification, I don't know. It'd be something we'd have to ask them.
Okay, I'd really appreciate if you could look into it and see if there's any way we could
There may be the option too, and if you all would like, we could see if we could add trap to the existing Skeet project and then have both.
We could see which one we can, like, if they won't allow us to change Skeet, we can see what the addition of trap would be, and then...
What I just don't want is I know that trap machines on Skeet machines are different, and they're not real cheap.
Yeah.
And I just hate to have a couple of Skeet machines, or, and I don't even know how many it is, if it's two machines or five machines, two.
Mm-hmm.
And then have them just sit there and go to waste because nobody's going to be able to do it. I mean,
right.
It's just...
Right. And the grant does include two Skeet machines as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Covering the cost of that.
We could ask.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess, you know, one of the things I believe we had some letters of support for the Skeet range, you know, that might, you know, mean that we'd have to obtain some additional letters of support, you know, modifying however we want to look at that.
One of the main reasons I brought this up is because I was talking to people about the letters of support and stuff, and a lot of people didn't understand me either. I've never shot Skeet in my life. I mean, we used to shoot trap and just, you know, a bunch of buddies get together and all that stuff because it's so simple to do. A lot of people don't understand the difference of it. And so when we ask for letters of support, which I remember, a lot of people, well, yeah, well, Skeet, let's do Skeet. You know, like, it's lots of fun and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think they really realized what they were saying and or, you know, what they were talking about when it comes to Skeet and trap shooting are a totally different situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I just, some people go, are we doing Skeet or trap? And I go, we're doing Skeet. And they go, well, no one's got a shotgun for Skeet. What are you guys doing? And I'm going, well, I guess I'll ask. But I go, this has been going on for a while. And I'm sorry for bringing it up now. But it's just, I'd hate for us to get so far into this thing and go, everyone's going, well, I ain't buying a $10,000 shotgun to go Skeet shoot.
Yeah.
You know, because most Skeet shotguns are not used for shooting birds and stuff like game.
Yeah.
So
and I think part of our justification in the grant application too is that we're returning a former Skeet range, you know, to Wrangell because there was a Skeet range there. You know,
and I understand that, and also that it was hardly ever got used.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people are going, why are we going to put a Skeet machine or Skeet back up there when it never got used and everybody just went up there and shot in that area with their trap machines that you could, I mean, I have one, you know, and you stand on it and it shoots the bird out there and you shoot it. Where Skeet's not like that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if it's okay with Jeff, I'd like to maybe chat with you and get some names of the folks who've been talking to you. So maybe we can chat with them.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. And just we've got the library carpet going in.
Mm-hmm.
That's we've waited several years for that. That's a good thing. And we're working on the 301H waiver, and we talked a little bit about that. And
yes, we need
to find funding.
There's some upfront work that needs to be done, and we'll be bringing a budget amendment to you on December 20th to move that work forward with kind of a first task for engineering assistance.
All right. Okay. Well, I didn't get through the whole list. I don't want to take too much more time, but that's 12, 13 major projects for this summer and spring. So this is super good news. And I thank you. It takes a great amount of work to get us this far. So thank you very much. All right. Do you have anything else?
Just a couple more. So the Byford lots, we're kind of waiting. We just had one final question for legal, and then once we get that back, Kim's already done a great job.
Ready to push that.
She's got everything in the system, ready to go. So I get word back, we'll see those on the streets. So
and those will go out for bid.
Yep. And then what I'll do,
go ahead.
So once those are put on our public surplus site, I can go on our website, and I can, to everybody that has subscribed to receive notifications for public surplus, they'll get that in their email. So, and even if I was telling Jeff, even if I'm down on vacation, I can go on my phone and release the auction. So,
great. And then the library received a grant through WCA for $9,978 for 4 new computers.
Oh.
So, thanks to WCA for that. And then we'll be traveling to the Alaska Municipal League in Anchorage on December 4th through the 9th for their annual meeting. So I'll be there for that.
Any other questions? Assemblymember Powell.
Can you get a report on, since in the news that transformers all around for, you know, even the ones we have on our poles and all that stuff that are, like, you can't even buy them now. Can we get a report, inventory, like a physical inventory of what we have, and in case we do need some, where maybe we could get some in an emergency, like from Ketchikan or Petersburg, Sitka? I mean, I don't know what we have for physical inventory of transformers, but I'd like to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Assemblymember Dalrymple?
This is only sort of indirect, but I noticed in the notes there was, in the Finance Committee, there was a discussion about the borough starting to think about perhaps financing some of our real estate transactions. I was very happy to see that. And I just think that'd be something good to have in the in our toolkit, especially when we have difficult properties such as the hospital and perhaps other properties as it comes up. I know other government agencies do that. The state of Alaska does that. I believe mental health does that. And I don't know about municipalities, but it seems like we could. I don't know what the legal ramifications are of that, but I'm glad to see at least that identified.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Moving right along, borough clerk's report.
I certainly don't have as much as that, but I'm trying really hard, taking the hint from Assemblymember Dalrymple, to list out the meetings as like 3 months at least in advance. I think that probably is helpful for everybody. Just a reminder, we have a special meeting on Monday. It's going to be at noon. It's just one item. And then it shouldn't really take too long. I'm going to be leaving on the afternoon gym on Monday, along with the manager. And I'll be gone until the 11th. I'll be back on the 12th. Oh, we're working on the website. It's moving along. So there's a tier process. We kind of came up with what we like as a design. It's myself, Carol Rushmore, and Cindy Prairie. They have an eye for that kind of stuff. So I think it's going to be so much easier to look at. So I did, speaking with Amber and with Jeff, we're adding one of the easy buttons is going to be for managers reports and other reports. I'm not sure how I'm going to word it, but just trying to make it easier for the public to be able to just go onto our website and find things easier. And that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Any assembly member have anything to report? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I just wanted to let everybody listening know, and the people here, that the comment period for the CAB and EA is coming up at the end of this week. So if they have comments, they should submit them to the Forest Service.
All right. And there's material on the table?
Right. There's materials and maps out front at the front desk.
And that involves how many cabins? Was it 7 or 9?
There's 9, 5 on the Wrangell District. And probably just to reiterate, they're not, they're going to clear, do an environmental analysis to clear all of those cabins. And then they'll pursue funding from that once they have those cleared. So how many actual cabins? That'll be dependent on funding in the future.
Any other reports? All right, hearing none, let's move right along. Mayor and Assembly appointments. We have 2 appointments to make tonight. We have planning and zoning. We have 2 people who volunteer, Joan Sargent and Kathleen St. Clair. And with the Assembly's approval, I'd like to appoint Kathleen St. Clair for Planning and Zoning Commission membership until October 2024. Okay. And then for Economic Development Committee, I'd like to appoint John DeRitter for membership to that commission until October 2023. And Clerk, will you notify those members? And we still have one vacancy on the Investment Committee. We would really like to have a member of the public participate on that committee. So we'll keep that open. All right, public hearing, there is none. Item 12, unfinished business. 12A, resolution number 11-22-1729 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the conveyance of lots 36, 37, and 38, Wrangell Town Site, located on A Street and Cassiar, to Frank Warfel, Jr., for a total combined fair market value of $33,000. This is page 34.
Move to approve resolution number 11-22-1729.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Howe. Administrative report.
The appraisal came back and the fair market cost for those was $33,000, so that's what we're bringing forth.
All right, pretty straightforward. Any questions, comments? All right, seeing none, poll vote please.
Yes, Assembly Members Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13A, it's on page 48, Assembly. Ordinance number 1033 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the sale of public land in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code, Charter 16.12, specifically Lot A, Block 54, WMC replat, plat number 2016-6, namely the Wrangell Medical Center, in the Wrangell Recording District, and repealing resolution number 04-22-1690.
Move to approve the first reading of ordinance number 1033 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on December 20th, 2022.
Motion by Howe,
second
by Powell. Guys are doing that on purpose. administrative report, please.
So we've had the Wrangell Hospital for sale for quite a while on over the counter, and we haven't got any offers yet at the asking price of $830, which was the appraisal for both the building and the property. We would like to move forward with an RFP to be able to go out to a commercial realtor. To actually go out and try to use a realtor to actually sell the property. At the same time, we're also asking that the price be lowered based on the property's appraised value of the land from $470,000.
Okay. And then we do have a second reading on this one. Any questions or comments? Okay. Seeing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
No.
Robbins?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, this is on page 205, Assembly. Resolution number 11-22-1728 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, accepting a grant in the amount of $427,804 from the State of Alaska Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Program for the Ports and Harbor Surveillance System Project.
Move to approve resolution number 11-22-1728.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Report, please.
And this is just allowing us to accept the grant money, which will then be added to the additional the other grant money we already received to be able to do the camera security system for the harbor.
And this brings us up to almost full payment?
Yes.
For this project?
Yes. Not a day too soon.
Okay, this is good. All right, any questions or comments? Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Brian Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Howe?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item C, approval of the City and Borough of Wrangell Employee Handbook, formerly called the Personnel Regulations.
Move to approve the City and Borough of Wrangell Employees Handbook as presented.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Administration report.
Yeah, we've been working on it a while. Definitely a big thanks to Kate Thomas and to Mason and Valarma to kind of get this over the hump. It's been, I think, 3 years since I've been trying to get the employee handbook done. Really a strong push over the last 3 months to kind of get this done and get everything wrapped up. The mayor did bring some couple of grammatical points as far as clarifying that. So I'm not sure if we'd want to just make those changes or whether we just keep it as is.
I know we all read all 88 pages of the employee handbook.
Every sentence.
I mean, there will be a quiz later on it, but I did make some grammatical suggestions, so if you'll bear with me, they're all they don't change the manner or the meaning of the handbook at all. There's a couple of things I added for consideration later on that we'll consider later on. But basically, it's the same as you see there. All right, I think they trust me.
Hey, detail people keep the world going.
Yeah. All right. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Assemblymember
Dalrymple. Mayor, I believe that this has also been reviewed by the attorneys.
Correct.
They've got a thumbs up. Thank you.
I both sat some attorneys.
It's very readable, very understandable. It's one of the better employee handbooks I've read. I've read a few.
I was just going to say.
I know.
More than the one.
I read instruction manuals, too. So what are you going to do? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Okay. Item D, this is on page 298. Approval of State Lobbyist Professional Services Agreement.
Move to approve the Professional Service Agreement with Ray Matuszewski.
Yep.
And Associates for Lobbying Services.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Report, please.
Yeah, I've just had a chance to kind of work with Ray over the past year, and like some of the projects he pulled through for us, a big one was the water treatment plant, getting the $4 million there. There's been some pretty diligent work, just even trying to get the generator at the airport, trying to get the state and the amount of the levels of effort to just get that small project done. He's definitely done a great job doing that. So definitely have to move forward with Ray, just kind of moving forward. He is going to make a site visit here probably in January or February before the next session begins, just so he can meet everybody, and then we'll make sure we get the annual report as well.
Any questions? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I have some questions and also some comments on this. I think always the Assembly's always struggled a little bit with using the taxpayers' money to fund lobbyists. Maybe we kind of view it as a necessary evil. But in the groups that we've engaged with, at least from my perspective, we have a membership with the Alaska Municipal League, which I kind of think of as lobbyists, and with our federal lobbyists. And those guys take great pains to tell us what they're doing and what their value is to us. And I gotta say, I think that we get our good money's worth out of them. But when it comes to this contract, which has been in place for quite a while, apparently, I haven't a clue what this lobbyist does for us. This is the first time, Jeff, that I've heard, you know, anything concrete for that. So I'm weighing that out. And I guess I've got to look back on what else has he done in the last 3 years, not just this last year for us, but in order to continue this. There's a couple parts of this contract that I think was also in the existing one. There's deliverables to meet with assembly once a year in the fall. And I don't know, just my recollection is nobody on the assembly now has ever met with him. Right, so this goes quite a ways back, and a deficiency in that deliverable. There's communications with the manager, and I'm glad he's doing that now with you, Jeff, but I've never heard the previous manager mention him, so I don't know what was there. And it's also, there's a deliverable for a summaries report, which I would very much be interested in when it engages, and especially that if we do approve this, that we would meet with him and we stress the deliverables in this thing. I think we really need to ensure that we're using the taxpayers' money well here. And honestly, he has to do more service for us than we're paying. I mean, it's got to be a plus situation with that. And maybe, Jeff, you could also, this appears to be a sole source. Could you maybe recommend or explain why you're recommending that not go out to bid for, I don't know who else is out there.
Yeah, there's a few other ones, and I have talked to other municipalities as well, as far as who they use and what is available. And just the general impression I get is we have one of the better lobbyists within the state. And again, I've talked to probably 4 or 5 different municipalities, because just as we started going through this, figuring it out, but when I mentioned who we have and then who they have, I've heard nothing negative as far as us having Ray. And he's said the communication I have with him is pretty regular. I would say at least during session, it's weekly. And then setting up meetings as well when I'm there, it's almost exclusively with him. Meeting with the different organizations, especially on the topics that are important to us. But I think one area that we do need to get and hold accountable is making sure he does come here, and he's going to do that before the next session begins so he can see some of the facilities that we have here and some of the challenges. Also make sure we get that report as well. So I think making sure we get those deliverables is going to be key as well.
Just my comment, Madam Mayor, is I reluctantly would support this with a commitment from the manager that we really focus on those deliverables and the communication with the assembly and with the people of Wrangell.
And that's a task for the assembly as well, that we need to look for that report, and we need to make sure we do have that face-to-face contact, because we have some long-range goals. Entitlement lands, we want to see what we have and what we can do with them. Punch that road between Pat's Lake and Spur Road. So we've got some big projects that I want to tackle at the first of the year and get those moving along. And of course, the development of the old mill site. So we're going to need a good lobbyist, and I have the same reservations as you do. I think we all do, but I'd like to give him at least another year, and let's see what part of it is us demanding accountability. So we will do that. All right. Any other comments or questions on this contract? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Members Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And we skip to item F, assembly, on page 306, approval of an amendment to the professional services agreement with Dowell for the water treatment plant improvements design in the amount of $140,000.
Move to approve an amendment to the professional service agreement with Dow for the water treatment plant improvements design in the amount of $140,000.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Robbins.
So this is actually for the AWC shop drawing. So it's essentially, it'll be subcontracted through Dow. But we were just going to try to go directly with AWC. But just given we have to work through EDA and USDA, their recommendation and just the amount of language we had to, we couldn't do a direct purchase order and go directly with AWC. We'd have had to do a whole new contract. And then even on our meeting today, we met with EDA today, and they were pretty excited with the fact that now we're working through Dow for AWC, because it's essentially getting the two engineers working together. So they're, it's Dow's engineers and then AWC's engineers who actually designed the system itself, working together on the overall system compared to just the DAF system itself, and making sure that all works together. So having them as a subcontractor, EDA was pretty excited about that. I think it's the best route to go for us from a liability standpoint, and just managing that subcontractor through Dow, it'll just make it easier.
Okay, and that's why there's a $15,000 difference?
And that could go down.
Okay.
Here's the max amount it would be, yeah. But it could be negotiated down depending on the amount of work they have to do to manage that contract.
Okay, does everyone understand that?
Well, I...
Assembly Member Howe?
I mean, I get it. I get the estimates changing that, but, you know, to throw some verbiage in there, like, throw some words at us in the word salad and, like, say, it's going to cost you $15,000 for these random things, I don't totally understand why it's that much different.
And we needed we have to get this done and get it out. So they gave us their max number that it possibly could be, but it could be below that. We're still negotiating with them to try to reduce that number down. But there are some administrative costs that they're going to have to now do to develop the contract as a subcontractor with AWC. So they do have some overhead costs of managing that subcontractor now that Dow didn't have before.
Gotcha.
So that's the extra amount is to Dow to manage the subcontractor, AWC.
For $140,000, we could have hired an engineer by now. That's kind of...
Well,
I'm just saying.
Well, actually, the... So the...
No, like, we could have had a city. Like, we've been like, hey, we have our own guy. It's fine. I get it. It's right. Just like,
and this
I'm
is
losing
actually,
patience with like all yeah. these revised estimates that they're throwing at us.
Yeah, and this is so we. This was already a cost it was going to be. So we knew we were already going to have shop drawings for the system. This is for the company we're going with. So AWC is actually that's the system we're buying. So it's actually and what we're doing is we're getting the shop drawings from AWC. So what it is, it's tying our system into their system that they have, if that makes sense.
I trust you.
All right.
Objection withdrawn.
Yeah, no, it's this is their engineering effort to tie into our system, essentially, is what it is, from the actual people who make the system. And that's who we're actually buying it from. Is we're going to buy the new system from AWC. Dow is designing everything else associated with our plant. So not just the DAF system, which is what they're doing. Dow is designing that DAF system to fit inside of our plant.
Yeah. And putting it all together.
Yeah. So it's having the two engineers working together so that the system all works as one unit.
As long as we have good water at the end.
And then it's even more complicated, which is what the assembly needs to be reminded about, is that there's a lot of work behind the scenes before we ever see one shovel of dirt moved. And you're working with two federal agencies that don't play well together. So whatever maneuver you make, you have to satisfy both of them. And many times they're at odds with one another. So to get this project started this coming spring and summer, is quite a feat.
Right.
And my hat is off to you. Mm. And I do understand this subcontracting concept. So.
Yeah, and this was in the overall estimate.
Right.
We knew we were going to have to pay this whenever we issued it out. Mm. It's just we're getting the funding to go ahead and pay the cost that we were going to have to do.
Got it. What it seems like when I just read it is like, hey, here's more money for the estimate that you already asked us for and we already gave you. That's what I'm saying. So it, to know that it's already baked in the cake and we're just like moving the funding around.
That's what it is. Yeah, the overall system is there. It just, now we're just paying. We're going to be paying for the pieces along the way now. Got the systems we're getting.
They already gave it to us.
And I had the opportunity to talk with the manager this morning. We might alert the assembly that we may need a little bit larger structure, because if you remember when we looked at the plans, the passageways were very tight, less than 4 feet in some cases in that metal building. So I think the engineers are trying to get us the smallest structure that they can, but one that will accommodate.
Right, and those are the discussions that are going back between Dow, who's doing the building design and like the different systems that you have with it, and then the dissolved air system, which is what AWC is designing. They have their own system, their own kit, and they're trying to make that fit in the building. So the building may have to be a little bigger based off of some of the assumptions that Dow had made of whether they could put certain things. So we may have to make it a little bit bigger, because each one of those tanks, Dow was assuming they could probably use like 2 dissolved air systems compared to the 3. But it's probably going to need... Yep, go ahead.
I'd be happy to elaborate a little bit more as well. So I want to clarify, number one, the $125,000 for the shop drawings, that is in our budget. It's in our fiscal year 23 capital budget for this project. We knew that we were going to go out and pre-select the DAF equipment manufacturer and procure those shop drawings. It's the shop drawings for the specific manufacturer of that equipment that Dow needs to complete their design. And I'll explain it a little different way. So each manufacturer of the DAF equipment, it's different. Everybody doesn't have like an off-the-shelf piece of equipment. You know, there's a lot of components. There's different media you can use. There's different pumps, and the piping schematics are different. Like, everybody has their own system. And so we knew that we were going to have to pre-select an equipment manufacturer that we could then rely on having our final design based around. So while Dow has water engineers, you know, they're the ones who are kind of putting this together for us, They are also needing to rely on the DAF equipment engineers who design and put those projects together to work with them and explain their system and how it works and how it's going to fit into the building, like Jeff was describing, because everybody's got theirs configured differently. And so while we worked with several different DAF manufacturers kind of through our preliminary engineering report, to understand what some of these different ones could look like and tried to identify like the largest option with our cost estimate, things change, as we know. But it's because now we have that. We did the pre-selection through a competitive solicitation. AWC was the only one who bid on that project. There was lots of outreach and encouragement for other manufacturers to participate. And, you know, I spoke to several of them, and they gave me their reasons why they chose not to. But AWC has stuck with us. We actually piloted their system, and they're interested. They've been interested all along. Anyway, it's that kind of separation, Ryan, that between, like, the equipment engineering that's required to kind of finish out all of the rest of the engineering, how that equipment fits and kind of plunks into place, and then the piping connects over here, you know, so that, you know, these guys design this part, these guys are designing this part, and they got to make sure it all connects together, basically, in the right layout, footprint, and whatnot. I don't know if that helps any.
It completely helped. Thank you.
I would like to also point out, it's very important for everyone to understand, by committing to this amendment, we're committing to AWC to provide that equipment through the general contractor who is selected through that construction project. And the way we plan to do that is we are going to identify, they've given us a price for the equipment. We're going to identify in the construction bidding documents that that contractor, all the contractors who are looking at the project, will use AWC's equipment and their number, their bid number. And AWC's got to hold that steady for 9 months, which is a little volatile. And we've got some language in place to account for cost escalation. But they will, they'll plug that number into their bid, and they will be required to use AWC's equipment. So then we're also then putting the onus on them to place the order, handle the equipment, install the equipment with AWC. So by amending or putting this amendment together and committing to purchasing the shop drawings, we're committing to that equipment in the future. That said, there is a clause. We're not committing to that until we actually have the money to move forward with the project. So right now we're only committing to the shop drawings, but they are committing to a future supply at that price. There's a lot going on with all of this. Just so, and if anybody has any questions about that, I think it's important for everyone to know. And all, the other thing too, just talking about the various funders and jumping through all the hoops that each one has us jumping through. In part, it's because one of the funders wanted us to use a certain form if we were going to contract with AWC directly, but they couldn't provide that form, nor could it be purchased anywhere. And we said, well, what do you want us to do then? And they recommended, they said, well, if we can't, this is USDA who requires us to use a certain form. They couldn't provide it. And I said, well, I'm sorry, we can't provide it. You can't use any other form because it's not been approved by our agency. Why don't you just run that through Dow's contract? So they recommended that we do that, and it's actually a great idea.
Clean.
How dare we that. Try to spend money? What is it? Why would we? You want to give us business? Come on.
So
all right.
That's helpful.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions before I call for the vote? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Robbins.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Downriffle.
Yes.
Brian Howe.
Yep.
And Mayor Geller.
Yes, thank you. And that completes our agenda. The attorney's file is available in the clerk's office. Happy Thanksgiving, Wrangle. And we will adjourn at 7:17.